It's a Matter of Insurance, presented by the New Hampshire Insurance Department. The New Hampshire Insurance Department is a state agency that regulates the commercial insurance industry in New Hampshire. Have questions or need assistance with your coverage? Call our Consumer Services Division at 1-800-852-3416 or email consumerservices@ins.nh.gov. Learn more about us by visiting nh.gov/insurance. I'm AJ Kierstead, the Consumer Outreach Coordinator at the department. We have two segments to bring you this month, including an interview with Director of Property and Casualty James Fox, running through our small business checklist for insurances to consider. But first, it's Life Insurance Awareness Month, and we have Roni Karnas to dive into that important subject. Joined today by Roni Karnas, Life, Annuity, and Ancillary Health Legal Counsel here at the New Hampshire Insurance Department. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, AJ. It's nice to be here.
With it being Life Insurance Awareness Month, I mean, that's a huge subject in general. So we're going to try and keep, you have some things you've prepared for us to talk about to kind of things to watch out for. Buyer beware is a constant theme we always have here at the department, and this definitely is along those lines. To just start off with, I mean, there's two big types of coverages that we always hear about, and you hear all the marketing around it, which is term life insurance versus whole or permanent life insurance? At like a high level, like what exactly does that mean?
So for term insurance, it means that there's no cash value accumulating under that policy. So for instance, it's very typical that you will take out a policy for a term, a period of years is what that means. And typically that's usually 10 years or 20 years. And the benefit of a term policy is that the premium for that type of coverage is typically a little lower. And for policies that accumulate a cash value, it can be considered sort of like a vehicle to grow wealth, if you will. And there are many types of policies that are universal or whole. And there can be within that various ways that you can pay your premium, as well as whether or not you want to get a little riskier with your wealth accumulation and actually have some of your cash value accumulation tied to an index or even the stock market.
What are some places people should maybe look to for resources when it comes to life insurance? Obviously, this is something that hopefully, knock on wood, you're going to have it for a very long time. So rules change, different products come to market. What are some ways people could stay up to date when it comes to this coverage?
The best resource guides are going to be the ones that are neutral. And for anyone beginning to look at whether or not they need life insurance, I highly recommend that they go to the NAIC Life Insurance Buyer's Guide to start. Now, the NAIC is the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. It's a neutral body. And you can go to naic.org/consumer and find the life insurance buyer's guide there.
Is this just like any other product where we always harp on work with an independent agent, see what's on the market and evaluate what your needs might be with that professional?
Absolutely. So let's start first with determining your purpose and your goals. That's where an individual should start first and look at some resources. And the better resources are going to be the ones that come from a neutral party. You need to look at, in general, why you want life insurance. Is it because you need to replace income if something were to happen to you? Are you looking just for a little bit of coverage to help pay for a funeral? Or maybe you want to grow a little wealth, or you're looking to shelter some of your assets from tax. Once you've done a little bit of reading, the next step definitely is to work with a local licensed professional. But keep in mind that you should work with not just a producer, but also perhaps a CPA and an attorney. And also keep in mind that life insurance may not be the best product to meet your goal.
How do you make sure you're having due diligence when it comes to having the appropriate coverage?
So I think of due diligence in three stages. And the first one is to vet the professional. So whether it's a producer or a CPA or an attorney, make sure that they're in good standing and licensed by their regulatory authority. And then also look at consumer reviews. The next thing I would do is vet the insurance company. I mean, if you are thinking about the fact that very central to the purpose of life insurance is that you're trying to protect your family, or maybe you're trying to protect a significant amount of assets, the policy is going to only be as good as the financial strength of the company writing the policy. So I would recommend vetting the rating of the insurance company. And there is a link on the New Hampshire Insurance Department website where people can go to do just that, to find out how the particular company is rated. And then I would vet the product that's being offered to you. This is where due diligence is definitely very important. You need to make sure that what the producer is offering you actually meets your goals and your purpose. And don't be afraid to ask that producer if there are other insurance products that are available that just haven't been offered. So the producer is going to use their best judgment and offer you some products that are suitable for your needs. But that doesn't mean that they have given you every single choice out there. And it's up to you to do your due diligence and ask, what is it that might be out there that might be better? And then lastly, and most importantly, due diligence when you finally get those documents. You make sure that you read that policy and all the other literature with it very carefully with the assistance of a CPA and attorney if you can. If you're buying a new policy for the first time, you have a 10-day free look period for which you can change your mind. And if you're replacing a life insurance policy, you have 30 days to make that decision. But it's important that you actually review all the documentation carefully.
What are some other practical considerations when it comes to shopping and finding the right product?
I guess the best advice perhaps would be depending on what it is that you need the life insurance for. For all of them, one of the best practical advices is make sure you're paying attention to who your beneficiary is. That's going to drive a bit why you're getting the insurance. And it also is a reminder that you need to pay careful attention to making sure that you have your beneficiary designation paperwork up to date at all times.
Make sure you have enough coverage for that next of kin, like you have family or something like that. Make sure that they have enough income to compensate for you not being there anymore, funeral expenses, things like that.
Yes. The amount of coverage will depend, again, on your purpose. So, for instance, if you are looking to replace income, should something happen to you and you have young children, you're going to need a significant amount of coverage, thinking that it's going to need to last through the lifetime of your child till they're emancipated, versus if your purpose is to pay for funeral expenses and not necessarily think about leaving a legacy to your children or worrying about replacing your income. That's a much smaller policy. And speaking of that, there is some practical advice about funeral policies. It's important for consumers to understand that there is a difference between the funeral arrangement agreement, which sometimes people enter into and they prepay, versus how that agreement is funded. So typically, a person could obtain a whole life policy to fund the funeral expenses. It's important to remember that you have a choice as to which insurance carrier you want to fund that agreement with. You do not have to go with the carrier that's being offered through the funeral parlor service company. And you also want to pay attention to who is going to be listed as the owner. If, for instance, you were to take out a whole life policy to fund those funeral services and you list the funeral parlor as the owner and the beneficiary, then when you go to have questions for the carrier about that policy, they're not going to give you information because they can only give information to the owner. So it's an important consideration. It's also important to consider who the beneficiary is and whether it's revocable or irrevocable. Typically, the people will list the funeral home as the beneficiary. And typically, if they're looking to make sure that it's not going to affect some public assistance, they will make that irrevocable. But those are considerations that individual needs to make, and they should ask a professional about what's best.
What about life insurance you get through your employer? Is that always enough? Like, should people consider whether that they should also go to an agent outside of that coverage?
That's a good point, AJ. Sometimes it depends on your purpose. Sometimes that employer's coverage is enough. Typically, with employer-based life insurance, there is a minimum amount that's applicable to everyone. And each employee can also opt in for what's called supplemental. So let's just say that your employer offers $25,000 of coverage to everyone. And for your particular circumstances, you think you need additional coverage. You could apply for and receive additional coverage by way of a supplemental application. That's not always enough. Some people, depending on their circumstances, still need more, and they can shop outside of their employer for that coverage. And again, I recommend that they go with a local licensed professional to vet that. Speaking of group coverage, there are times when you'll see on television or maybe in a mailer that you can apply for life insurance through another group. people should be very mindful of the fact that those groups may not exist in New Hampshire and that this is coverage that's being offered actually in another state. Consumers should be aware that if they were to ever have an issue with that type of coverage, they would have to contact the insurance department of that state. New Hampshire would not necessarily be able to help them. And also, just because you're getting coverage through a group does not mean that you're getting the best rate. It's very wise for people to shop.
Always say that. Shop around. Every few years, you should review all your insurance coverage for sure.
That's an important point, AJ. Just because you've bought a policy doesn't mean that you don't review it in a few years. Your life changes, your needs change, and therefore your insurance coverage is probably going to change. So it's very wise to make sure that you are re-reviewing everything periodically. And in particular, making sure that you've updated your beneficiary information. And along those lines, it's important to also keep the notices that the insurance companies are sending you. A lot of the notices that you receive are required by law, and the law is there to protect the consumer. So it's important to read it and keep it. Keep it in a safe place with copies to trusted family members or friends.
Is my wife able to take out a $5 million life insurance policy out on me without my consent?
Not anymore. New Hampshire just recently added a provision in our statute that requires the consent of the proposed insured. So if you're looking to get coverage on your spouse's life, you need to get your spouse's written permission. And you should be aware that your spouse has the right to revoke that consent at any time. Lastly, if you have any questions and don't know where to go for help, call the insurance department. The consumer representatives are fabulous and they are a wealth of knowledge and can point you to the right direction to find the information that you need.
Exactly. 800-852-3416, nh.gov/insurance. We've got their information right there at the top of the homepage. Ronan Karnes, Life Annuity and Ancillary Health Legal Counsel, thank you so much for joining the program. The New Hampshire Insurance Department has been reaching out to chambers of commerce and businesses across the state of New Hampshire recently, and I'm joined today by Director of Property and Casualty James Fox to talk about a checklist we've been working on with some tips for businesses to consider with regards to different aspects of insurance. Let's start off with James on general liability and property insurance. I'm assuming that's very commonly purchased by businesses or should at least be considered.
I would say absolutely that is probably the most commonly purchased policy is general liability. But, you know, to be clear, so if you're a larger business, you would buy a commercial general liability policy. And if you have property, you'd buy a commercial property policy. And that would be the two primary policies you have. If you're a smaller business, you would end up buying what's called a business owner's policy, which is, in my mind, always looks a little bit more like a homeowner type idea, but it's for business. It represents the liability part of your business and then also the property part all in one package. So it's just easier for a small business to understand and purchase. But as you said, I mean, whatever your needs are, whether you're large or you're small or you're not sure if you're large or you're small, the best way to work through exactly what you need is to work with an insurance agent and not try to go at your own. Usually businesses don't try to go with their own. So you'd want to have probably research your producer, or most people call them insurance agent, to make sure you have a good insurance agent with several companies that they can shop your business with. Because you're going to have those kind of two major policies, that's general liability and general property. But you're also going to have, depending upon your needs, you may have cyber liability coverage, maybe an endorsement. Or you can get that as standalone, or business interruption coverage, which is obviously important. And so to make sure you have those basic coverages. So yeah, that's the most basic coverage you're going to see.
And pro tip, also be sure to have a good business plan, an idea of what you're going to be needing to have covered with your business. So whether you've got your own piece of property, whether you're going to be interacting with the public, people are going to be visiting your property, things like that. Just be prepared when you visit your agent, because they're going to want to know as much information as possible. And the next thing on our list here is workers' compensation, which is something that's required by the state for almost all businesses.
Right. Yeah, workers' compensation is a mandatory insurance in the state of New Hampshire. Like auto insurance is in all other states other than New Hampshire is mandatory, but it's not. But workers' compensation insurance is mandatory. So that's, very obviously everybody knows or should know that. That's if your employee gets hurt at work. course of their work that they'll get their medical needs covered and loss of wages covered. In the old days, you used to be able to bring liability actions, but that was a little hard for sometimes the employees to do. So the compromise was to come up with workers' compensation. Almost everyone needs to have a workers' compensation policy. There are some limited exceptions, but almost everybody has to have it. There is, because it's mandatory, you can either get it in what's called the voluntary market, or if the voluntary market thinks you're either too new, which you might be new, or you're too risky, then you can go into the assigned risk pool, which basically is all the insurance companies working together to cover those risks that none of the voluntary markets wants to cover individually. And then you get administered by one of the insurance companies, but it's through a pool system. That's also done in commercial and personal lines. Auto have pools, because though in, I would say, auto and workers' comp, we want to make sure that everybody who wants to have insurance is able to get it. So that's why those pools exist.
Transition over to commercial auto insurance. What are some big things to consider with that?
So you have personal lines auto and commercial auto. We all have, or most of us in New Hampshire, have a personal lines auto policy. So if you look at your personal lines auto policy and you looked at, you know, every insurance policy is assigned the same way. That gives you your coverage grant. So for liability, you get into an accident. And then they have conditions, like you have to report that are part of your policy. And then after that, they also have exclusions for your policy. And so if you looked at a personal lines policy, a lot of the exclusions that exist are commercial business-oriented exclusions. So if you're using your truck or your car for work, and say it's got the name of your company on the side of it, then you might be not a personal lines policy. It might be a business policy is what you need. And you don't want to be in a situation where you have a personal lines policy and you should have had a business policy. I think the most common one that people think about that happens, that sometimes trips people up, is one of the exclusion is for livery and delivery. So if you have a personal lines policy and you are driving for a pizza shop, for example, and there's an exclusion for that, and it says that, so if you're actually out driving, delivering a pizza, you might have a company say you're excluded. And then say that you have a $250,000 policy. What happens in that case is, due to a statute, you get dropped down to $25,000, $25,500 they call it. So $25,000 per person, $50,000 per accident. And if you have a $250,000 policy, you probably don't want to be dropped down that low. So you won't actually be out completely, but you might be in a very risky position as to your assets, and there are a lot of car accidents that happen. So you should be, I always say, extremely careful in the auto land to make sure that you have an auto policy and that you have the right auto policy. So if an accident does occur, that you are covered to the full extent that you would like to be covered. And that is the way the whole system is designed in New Hampshire. But if there's any concern because of the business issue, we 100% again say that you should talk to an agent to tell them exactly what you're going to be doing for business and whether that requires a business policy or it doesn't. Now, one of the types I would say that you're saying, well, what would not, if you think about a lot of attorneys in this state, they might drive to courthouses as part of their job, but that doesn't require a business policy. That's not really, the car is not really part of the business. So you wouldn't need that. But to be careful and to fully protect yourself, you should really work on that with an agent.
Delivery drivers, if you are part of a rideshare service like your Ubers and your Lyfts, anything like that, definitely be sure to talk to your agent about what you're using your vehicle for.
Yeah, just before we move on from that.
Yeah.
So Uber and Lyft, that has its own statute. So I said it wouldn't drop you to zero. But in that case, that is a very unusual statute that it doesn't operate like the rest of our insurance in the state as to auto. So that if you had insurance companies allowed to put, they're called transportation network companies, an exclusion for transportation network company coverage that says it's not going to be covered completely, and then that would drop you to zero. So you'd be, again, in a very bad position. Now, if you're with a large company like Uber and Lyft, I know that they have large policies that cover liability, so you're covered to a certain extent. But then you also want to have other coverages like MedPay and uninsured motorist coverage. So it's best to, you can go and make sure, you just tell your agent that I'm like, I'm driving for Uber, Lyft, or any other transportation network companies, and I want to make sure my policy is going to protect me just in case their policy doesn't. And then the agent can work with the company you have or find you a different company that's comfortable with that risk.
So professional liability is something else that's going to be very specific depending on the industry you're in, the size of your business. What are some highlight things for this?
Yeah, that's really easy. I mean, I'm a lawyer, so it's easy for me to talk about that. But, medical malpractice insurance, legal malpractice insurance are two common ones that come to mind. So basically, professional liability is you're a professional. So instead of, this goes into tort a little bit, instead of like regular tort where you're supposed to act like the reasonable person, average person, a lot of times in professional liability, you're supposed to act as a reasonable person in your profession. And that's the question. That's a very general, version of how that works. So those policies are to cover you in your professional life in case you basically don't act in accordance with the standards of your profession. And then that incurs liability because people come to you, for your expertise in your profession, you've not lived up to that standard. So then you might get sued and, those can be very large claims. So you're a professional. You absolutely want to make sure you have a liability policy to cover you, because if it doesn't, then they're probably going to come after your personal assets.
All right. Last on our checklist here is commercial umbrella policy. What does that mean?
As the phrase, kind of at least connotes or denotes, that's going to sit above most of your other policies. So above your commercial general liability policy, above your auto policy, professional liability policy, it's another layer of coverage. So your primary layer is going to go up to a certain amount. And to have umbrella, you have to make sure you carry a certain level. Then above that, that is a more general policy. Sometimes it's just a follow along. It just says whatever you have below will follow along. So if you have coverage below, you have coverage above. Or it's a separate policy standards, more like an excess policy. But it's going to give you another layer of coverage for those maybe you would view as more catastrophic losses or major losses to make sure, again, that you have enough coverage to cover the loss. Because if you don't have enough coverage to limits to cover the loss, then you might have to use your own assets. And that obviously is the whole point of insurance, is to avoid that because you're trying to protect your assets. But again, I would generally say when you're going to go through all these coverages, and there's a lot of niche coverages that your particular situation might require, that's why we always tell people pick an agent, and then don't just pick any agent. Make sure you pick one that you have confidence in, that they're going to be able to handle finding you the right coverages. Now, I would say we said professional liability. So the coverage that an agent has is called an errors and omissions. So if they don't live up to their standard of care, they look to the errors and omissions policy they have, but you don't want to ever get to that. You want to find a competent producer or agent to go through all your needs. And as AJ said, bring your business plan in, or fully explain what your business model is, so that they know what they need to look for.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me, Property and Casualty Director James Fox. If you have any questions about your coverage, please be sure to reach out to our Consumer Services Division. You can call them at 1-800-852-3416 or email consumerservices@ins.nh.gov. Be sure to check out our website at nh.gov/insurance for more information. Thank you for listening to A Matter of Insurance, presented by the New Hampshire Insurance Department. You can subscribe to the show on all major podcast platforms, and now also on YouTube. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and always remember that we are here to help. If you have problems with your insurance, call the Consumer Services Unit at 1-800-852-3416 or email consumerservices@ins.nh.gov.